All right, let's go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast. This is episode 21 that you're tuning into. I am one of your co-hosts here. My name is Abdullah, also known as Muzaj. And with me, as always, my friend, my companion, my compadre, my colleague, my salt to my pepper. I can't think of another one. Mansoor.
Hey there. How's it going, guys? It's good to be back, as always. As always.
Absolutely.
I think today we have, one of those shortened episodes, but it's a good one, right?
Yeah, you think so? I don't know. I feel like we have a lot of music to get through and talk about. I don't know. I feel like it's pretty
definitely
episode music. We haven't talked about music in a while.
Yeah,
been
true.
Guests consistently, so now it's an opportunity to kind of let the floodgates open, so to speak. I mean, yeah. I've listened to a lot of music. I didn't even put on this list just for the sake of the length of the episode. So, that says something.
That's saying something. I mean, we're going to talk about them probably the next episodes, right? There's always time to talk about good music, and that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all right. You know what? Let's get into it. Let's get right into our news. Sad news. It seems like we're going to start up on a downer here. Iron Maiden. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Iron Maiden. I don't really don't care about Iron Maiden, but apparently their ex frontman died. I didn't even know that they had an ex frontman. I thought Bruce Dickinson was the one only frontman for Iron Maiden. That's how much I don't really care that much about them.
Actually, they started out with Paul Di'Anno. He was the first singer on the first two albums. They're considered to be like metal classics, and everyone from like James Hetfield to like maybe Slipknot, everyone cites those albums as being some of the best albums in metal. But Paul Di'Anno was replaced by Bruce Dickinson on the third album, but he became like kind of a legend in a way. Unfortunately, his solo career didn't really take off. I mean, he was pretty, I think, just well known amongst like the hardcore Maiden fans, but he never really reached the success of his former band. But yeah, this was sad news. Like, it's old news by now. This was like 2 weeks ago or something, but still, it shook everyone. But he was going through health problems. So, it's really unfortunate. He really struggled in the last couple of years with his health. So, unfortunately, he passed away. And those two first Maiden albums, the self-titled and Killers, are some of the best, metal albums of all time.
Is it the same vocal styles like Bruce?
He was kind of, but Bruce has a more powerful set of vocal cords. I mean, he was more of a kind of rough and punky kind of approach, but he could hit some of the high notes as well.
Okay.
He's more gritty style than Bruce, I would say.
Okay, so maybe I need to check out those albums, because then maybe I'll be able to get into some of it, because that's one of the main things. I mean, in general, the sound of Iron Maiden is something that I could never get into. Like, it's a bit too, I don't know what's the word to describe it, but like theatrical, a bit, a bit kind of like metal, like, it's a bit too metal for my taste, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, it's sad news. But yeah, it's interesting to know that they had a previous, and I call myself a metalhead, people are going to probably say, you call yourself metalhead? You didn't know that Iron Maiden had metal vocals. But speaking of metalheads. Yeah. Speak of secret metalheads. Apparently, Mariah Carey had a grunge album that she wanted to release.
So yeah, I mean, this is kind of, this was reported like 2 weeks ago as well. Apparently, sometime during the mid '90s, Mariah Carey recorded a grunge album. It was a secret. She recorded it secretly, and she wanted to release it, but she had to carry on with her life.
Nice. it was only a daydream.
Oh yeah, exactly. She was daydreaming about it.
to those who are listening, not watching, she made an album while recording the album Daydream. Apparently, she made this grunge album while recording Daydream. So, yeah,
exactly.
So that's why I said Daydream. That's the joke.
Apparently, the album was supposed to be called Someone's Ugly Daughter. So that's the title of her secret grunge album, and now she wants to put it out.
Interesting.
Imagine she waited like 30 years or something.
She's like, this is the right time. The right time. Like when I'm just raking in those Christmas songs money, you know, like royalties from those Christmas songs that every Christmas, yeah. You know.
Honestly, I think it would have killed her career if she had released that album.
Obviously, of course. Back then, I feel like people were more rigid when it comes to their musical taste, right? Like, I mean, right now, I think people don't bat an eye. Like, you know, you got people like MGK, for example, who went from hip-hop to punk, and, like, actually his career even exploded and even got better, you know? There's even, like, some examples of other pop artists who experimented with a bit more metal. It's hip-hop artists. I think Lil Uzi Vert, like, released, like, a bunch of metal songs in his rap albums. So, like, people are more experimenting and, like, experimental, and audiences are more open to it, but, like, and then you have people like Olivia Rodrigo as well, who's like literally kind of like aping, and she's creating a more accessible poppy sounding Hole or Paramore or something like that, you know, and people are not batting an eye at that at all. So like, yeah, I mean, today people I feel like are more open to that kind of sound. But yeah, like I can't imagine like back then Mariah Carey had to release this out. We would have not heard of, like, Mariah Carey would have been dead right there.
Like, I mean, like Post Malone has a pretty, eclectic sound,
it's
right?
Eclectic. Yeah.
I mean,
he has albums with that. Like the last album he released is a country album.
Oh, okay. There you go. I mean, he did it all, but I think people are more accepting of that now. But I mean, back then she was still like building her name and stuff. I mean, she was pretty big in the '90s and stuff.
Yeah.
But now she can take the risk. But it's funny you mentioned MGK, because I think that he had like a beef with Corey Taylor from Slipknot, and Corey Taylor dissed him. He was like, "Yeah, that guy failed at hip hop. Now he's doing punk, and I don't know what."
Yeah.
But
all things considered, he got pretty successful doing the punk and rock stuff. So
he
messed around with the wrong band, I guess. Yeah, with Corey Taylor and Slipknot. But anyways, I mean, I would really love it if she releases this album. I want to listen to Mariah Carey interpretation of what a grunge album sounds like. Oh well, I don't know.
Do you think it would be closer to like Nirvana or Alice in Chains or Pearl Jam?
So she recorded this while recording in 1995. So 1995, what was like popping like at that point? Probably like Nirvana, right? Like Nirvana. Nirvana came on the scene like during that time, 1995.
I mean, no. Kurt Cobain died in 1994, but in the Soundgarden was like the biggest band. Alice in Chains, like all, they were
all
still
the
all
grunge bands
pretty
were right
popular.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like maybe she was probably like she was probably gonna ape the Nirvana sound for sure. Either Nirvana or like the Pearl Jam sound. She probably heard like Black, by Pearl Jam, and she was like, "Oh, this is sweet. Yeah, I can do it as well. I can do grunge." Oh man, that's so funny. More sad news, more breakups and stuff. This is actually the second breakup or like band members leaving bands headline that I see. But anyways, this one says drummer Tim Herb Alexander quits Primus again. I'm not going to take a guess why he's called Herb, but this is, you know, this is a band that you were very near and dear to your heart. So this is probably very disappointing for you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I love Primus. They're like one of my biggest influences. But yeah, unfortunately, their original drummer, Tim Alexander, quit again. This is like the third time he quits the band. And he was like, he released like an official statement a few days later. And he was saying basically he's prioritizing his mental health and his physical health. And he can't see himself doing like music anymore, because apparently he had like a bypass surgery or something 10 years ago. So his health isn't like in the best shape. And of course, touring can take a toll on your health as a musician, especially at, you know, at his age. He's like nearly 60 years old. So yeah, I mean, he wants to spend more time with his family, and doing the things that, you know, that are, you know, that won't have a detriment to his health, physical and mental. So yeah, this was a kind of a shock because the band didn't see it coming. Sorry. And yeah, they had like a bunch of tours booked, and like they're apparently, you know, a Tool announced they're doing like the special concert thing, and like Primus is opening for them. So apparently Danny Carey will fill that role. He's gonna drum for Primus. Nice.
It might still be cool, like just to see like Danny Carey fill in for that role. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm seeing a lot of news now of like, yeah, not only like modern, you know, let's say, you know, younger bands saying like, oh, you know, I need to stop touring to prioritize my mental health and stuff like that. Corey Taylor is not as, you know, he's not really young, but like he's younger, like young, definitely much younger than Tim Alexander here. He also like at some point had to like stop touring to prioritize his mental health. And I feel like I've heard like a bunch of other people doing that. It's just, I find it very interesting that this is, you know, you're hearing it more and it's more common now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if there were ever headlines when like the Rolling Stones or Kiss or any of these bands were touring where at some point like the guitarist said, you know, I need to quit or I need to stop because of my, you know, mental health or like to prioritize my, it makes me think, are like touring schedules now more grueling than they were back in the day, or am I missing something? Maybe back in the day they used to get longer breaks and so that didn't matter. You know, they were comfortable and they were making more money without having to tour as much. I mean, it's just very interesting to me.
I mean, I don't know, to be honest. Yeah, you're right, though. We're seeing a lot of musicians talk openly about mental health these days, some stepping away, trying to take time off and stuff. It's a pretty interesting development, I guess, because like mental health now is it has become a kind of a mainstream topic, and which is a good thing, obviously. But
it's not as taboo, but, maybe, as it used to be back then.
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, back then, I don't think people even thought much about like mental health. They did not. It just didn't cross people's minds for some reason. But it's so strange when you like, especially in the case of like Corey Taylor, because he's kind of the singer, the main guy. When you book tours, it's like it's a business commitment with so many parties involved, and like with staff, and you know, we have like insurance companies and contracts and all these complicated things involved. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why like a lot of pressure and a lot of stress, and I guess, you know, it piles up eventually. But yeah, Tim Alexander leaves Primus again. Wonder if he'll rejoin and then leave again. Speaking of Corey Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice segue.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even do it on purpose. I completely forgot that this was the next new segment. But apparently Slipknot has a new design for... I mean, listen.
Mm-hmm.
I like the front of the shirt a lot. I like the design, the way the shirt looks, the materials and stuff like that. I'm not sure how I feel about this new logo, though. I don't know. Call me old school. I'm used to the old logo.
Yeah, me too. I mean...
Is there a picture of the logo here?
I'm not a Slipknot fan, to be honest, but like I know that old logo is pretty popular, but like I don't see why, I don't know why they changed it. I mean, it was good.
You got to modernize it, you know. You got to go with the times. You got to sell. You got to make more money. I don't know. I don't know why. Like, everybody modernizes their logos, I guess. But like, yeah, I don't know. Is it? Do you think?
It's too clean, man. They cleaned the logo up.
It does look too clean. And I just realized something. I just remembered something. I don't know if this is true. And I don't know. Did you read the article?
I read it when it came out, but...
Okay, so it doesn't say anything about Joey Jordison, does it? Because if I remember correctly...
Yes.
If I remember correctly, I remember a long time ago, I read that he's the one that did the logo. And I remember seeing recently, in recent news, that there's been like a lot of back and forth between the Joey Jordison estate and Slipknot. You know, like they're suing each other, you know, oh, you owe us money, you're using the Joey Jordison, I don't know, name to do this, do that, I don't know what. There's like a lot of drama between these two camps. So I'm thinking maybe they changed up the logo because of that.
That could be that's a valid point. I mean, that could be the case for sure. I mean, that would be something interesting to look into, because that's a business, business decision as well, right?
Yeah. It could be that, you know, hey, we can't use that logo anymore because it's Joey Jordison. He designed it. He did it. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I think I need the Slipknot merch, man. I need the Iowa album cover T-shirt. But
is that their best work?
I personally think Iowa is probably the best album they've made. It holds up today. It's pretty rough. It's pretty like aggressive sound. It's like the heaviest album. I find it bizarre that album hit is mainstream, or like, you know, was able to hit the Billboard and like reach like high numbers, because different time, man. It was a different time. I think metal was really at its high point at that point, and you know, it was more accessible and more people were buying into it and more people were listening to it. That album is like a straight up, at some points, sounds like something out of a Napalm Death album or like grindcore or even death metal. Like they really leaned into their, you know, death metal and grindcore influences in that album. But there are like more accessible songs obviously on there that are more melodic. But even then, the melodic songs even sound a bit like dissonant and like atonal and weird, you know, like it's it's such an interesting album. Such an interesting album how that it's, to me, I find it the obviously they've released, you know, Subliminal Verses, I think, has a bunch of really good songs. They released a bunch of new, the newer stuff is not bad. I don't like the newest album they released, Nero Fort or whatever it's called. It's really bad. Like, I really did not enjoy that album at all. But it's you know, if you want to listen to something pretty aggressive, listen to that album, Iowa. It's the second
album. I really like their current drummer, Eloy Casagrande.
He's so good. He's so damn.
Yeah. He's insane. Like, if you just check out his videos on YouTube, like the Sepultura stuff, the non-Sepultura stuff, he's a fantastic drummer, man. And he's like, I'm so happy when they hired him. He's just insane.
Yeah, he's crazy good. He, like, seeing him play the Slipknot songs as well, like, he just fit in. Like, he does a really good job. And he's just a crazy good drummer. And apparently, like, he was... It's so interesting as well. Good for him, because he apparently grew up listening to Slipknot, and one of his dreams was to, you know, tour and play on stage. And Slipknot was one of, you know, his... Basically, Joey Jordison and, you know, Slipknot were his idols. And now he's, like... He's part of the band now, you know, playing for them. So that's kind of a, you know, interesting kind of, you know, your dreams aligning and working out for you, you know, like it's
crazy. Definitely.
Like, I don't know if you ever thought, like, as a fanboy of Slipknot, as a kid growing up, that he'll ever play for Slipknot, you know?
Yeah,
but good for him. Good for him. Well, Mansoor, that's it for the news. I got a doomy tone for you here. I don't know if you have any doomy albums that we can listen to or that we've been listening to this week. that's the music that they were listening to. So, Mansoor, tell me what you've been listening to.
So, this is an album that I think we both listened to. It's the Better Lovers album.
Yeah.
It's called Highly Irresponsible. It's the album with Greg Pusciato, ex Dillinger Escape Plan singer.
Did we establish that his name is actually Pusciato?
Yeah, I think that's I looked it up and I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Listen, man, this is the fourth time you mentioned this guy, and I think we're gonna keep mentioning. We need to get his name straight.
You know what? I'm gonna make the rules here. It's Greg Pusciato, and okay. That's that.
I could have sworn I saw an interview where someone called him Pacquiato or something like that, or Pacutu. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, go ahead, Pusciato. Yeah, let's just call him Pusciato. Pusciato. Anyway,
wanna be Italians here?
Yeah.
I mean, that's his current project. I think this is like their first full length album.
This is their first full-length album.
It's pretty good. Like, it's I think if you're a fan of Dillinger, you'll like this. I mean, there's a lot of that insane like Dillinger, you know, type of sound there. The energy, that, you know, intensity, yeah. And even like their live performances. It's very much in that kind of spirit.
Insane.
It is.
Greg, and with like fire breathing and climbing up over rails and I don't know what. Like, yeah, he's bringing that Dillinger spirit into those performances for sure.
So yeah, I mean, I like this album a lot. There's fantastic guitar work and singing. So yeah, I mean, it's and the artwork is like insane, because it's like something straight out of Mad Magazine. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. I was about to say that. it's like Americana, like skateboarding, Mad Magazine kind of like a skateboarding brand kind of artwork kind of thing. That's really endearing. Kind of, actually, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. But I really like that album as well. It's interesting because this project is like, it encompasses a lot of the bands that I love. Like, it has members of Every Time I Die. It has Will Putney, who is like a producer that I really appreciate, and I really like his other projects as well.
And it has
Greg. So I enjoy this album, but as a fan of the Dillinger Escape Plan and as a fan of Every Time I Die, like, I feel like this album is not scratching that itch that I have to you know, because Every Time I Die broke up, and like, they're one of the best like metal bands, metalcore, modern metalcore bands out there. It's still a great album, definitely worth listening to, and it's definitely very interesting and it does unique stuff. But I guess, yeah, if you're like someone who's already coming in there with expectations to hear like more of Every Time I Die, or like, I just feel like, you know, I hate saying it, but because I love the people that are in this band, but like, it doesn't do the Every Time I Die thing well, and it doesn't do the Dillinger Escape Plan thing all the way. So it's kind of like in the meandering, kind of in the middle between those two sounds. And I find myself enjoying it, but not enjoying it at the same time. I don't know how to describe it, you know, like, it's kind of not hitting that itch. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they'll do next as well, like when it comes to their albums. And I will definitely go see them live if I get the chance.
Yeah. Same here, man. Okay, so the next single, well, this is a single, actually. It's from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. It's called Phantom Island.
King Gizzard.
These guys, the unhinged band that is known as King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, there. Oh yeah, that's a very gizzard dish.
my gate was like stopping me from playing it, but like, yeah. I don't know. Like, this is their old stuff though. Like, this album sounds, these songs sound nothing like that.
Yeah, I mean, this new one definitely is kind of a new territory for them. They're playing with an orchestra, I think, on this one.
Like,
and
yeah,
this
like
is
jazzy.
The direction.
It's very jazzy, yeah.
It's very jazzy. It's like a new kind of direction for them, and it's pretty interesting. I'm curious to hear what the album sounds like, because the last couple of albums kind of didn't take too many risks with the think the last albums they released, which is probably like 10 albums in 1 year or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the last album we talked about was Plain, I don't know what. It's like it was very old school sounding rock, kind of like vintage sounding rock with a bit of a twang. And yeah, we thought it was okay. I think you enjoyed it, maybe. I don't remember. But
I enjoyed it. It didn't, like, it was fun to listen to, but it wasn't like a wow album. Like, they have some albums that are just completely mind-blowing, you know, like microtonal stuff and some of the jazzy stuff, all the weird stuff they did.
That's the microtonal stuff is the best work they've had, like that. What are those two albums that they released back-to-back with the covers that are kind of similar? It's just called KG, and then the other one was called LZ?
LW.
LW, yeah. Those two records are amazing. And then you have the Petro Duganic, I don't know what, record. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible record as well.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to hearing this one. We talked about them a lot because they released so much music in such a short span.
Definitely worth listening to that live album they released. It's really good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I got to see them live a long time ago during the Nanagon Infinity Tour. One of the best shows I've been to in my entire life. Like, I didn't expect it to be that good. Like, I thought it was going to be like, yeah, or it was going to be fun and all right. But no, it was like insanely great.
Awesome. And I really want to see them live for sure. Hopefully one day I will.
Yeah. The next track is from a local band, Garwasha. We talked about them before, and this is they released a new single. The title's in English, and yeah, it's in English, but the words, I think, Bat Habibi or something like that.
Wait, I got the Garwasha riff from the previous single. No, wait. I forgot. Anyways, yeah, keep going. I forgot the previous release they had. But yeah, anyways, yeah, what did you think of this song? It's called Bat Habibi?
Bat Habibi. B-A-T-T Habibi. Habibi. Yeah. Hmm. I mean, I need to know. I don't know. I have to translate this better. But I like the Garwasha sound. It's like, you know, that sort of smooth, jazzy sound, you know, that's just lifts your spirit up. I love it, man. It's you know, they're definitely one of those bands, local bands here, that I just love listening to. And you know, I got to see them live. I'm bragging a lot on this episode. They're also fantastic live. So this is a cool track.
Yeah, I still didn't get to see them live. I like this track a lot as well. Again, like as much I enjoyed it as much as their previous single as well. But again, this at the same time, I feel like I will say this. I have the same thought about listening to this song as I did before. I feel like the song just did not need to be as long as it is. Like it said everything that it had to say in like the first 4 minutes. I feel like, or the first 3 and 50 minutes. It's one of those things. I feel like they're so good at writing like really good music, and if they just shorten it a little bit, I think it will just hit harder. You know, it'll be more impactful.
Yeah, my only comment for them would be, come on, guys, it's about time to release an album here. I mean, they're dropping singles and stuff, and I'm talking because I really want to listen to, like, sit down and listen to, like, a full body of work that, you know, for an hour or something and just chill out to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, then I think you're not going to be disappointed when they drop their album, because I feel like all their songs are going to be that long, so you're going to have a lot to dig into.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. I've been listening to a lot of stuff, but like the few things that I just want to highlight quickly for this week. So there's a band called Life Sick that released an album that's pretty good. Like it's really nice, good hardcore, just grindy sounding album. And band. I've never heard of them before. Like, I've just discovered them when they released this album, or they released singles before that, and then, you know, that's how I found out about them. But yeah, they released an album called Loved by None, Hated by All. Just really aggressive, just, you know, in your face, kind of like this chainsaw tone, you know. like just all the stuff that I love and I really appreciate. So,
yeah, this is a good record, man.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And it's paced well as well. I feel like they do a good job of writing songs that are like paced in a way that are interesting and fun to listen to. Not a lot of bands can pull that off. But yeah, I really like this album. It's really good.
It kind of reminded me of Hatebreed a bit. It has that kind of
the hardcore.
I don't know. Yeah, the hardcore, yeah. You know, like that kind of crunchy, tight riffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but with a bit more, I guess you can say, like leaning more towards like a kind of a grindy sound. You know, like just a bit more grind there. But yeah, great record. I don't know if they're American. I don't remember if they're American or European or whatever they're from. But a really good record. Really interesting band. Lifesick. I really recommend checking them out.
Yeah, they have a kind of an American sound. So I'm guessing they're American. Yeah,
they could be. Alexis on Fire, one of my favorite like post-hardcore bands. A while back released like a really, 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 really dope album called Death Letter. And basically, it's stripped down. Apparently, it's a record that they did a long time ago and they never released or something like that. And then they just decided to put it out. And it's basically stripped down interpretation. I don't want to say acoustic because like it's not really acoustic. It's just stripped. It is kind of acoustic, man. I don't know. Anyways, it's like acoustic stripped down interpretation of some of their songs. Some of their like the best hitters, Born and Raised, The Northern, a bunch of other songs, and just beautiful interpretations of those songs. Really well, like just chill, nice to listen to. Dallas Green, the vocalist in this band as well. He's got such a great voice that really, really pops off in this record. Really a joy to listen to. Like I really enjoyed I was listening to this record multiple times over the weekend. And I was really having a lot of fun listening to this record. It's really, really good. I recommend, if you're a fan of Alexis on Fire or if you're someone who just want to listen to something laid back, really, really beautiful vocals as well, then yeah, I highly recommend listening to Alexis on Fire. Death Letter, and then go and check out the original songs because they're pretty nice post-hardcore stuff as well.
I didn't know it was like acoustic renditions of like their previous work. I honestly don't listen to Alexis on Fire. Yeah. I mean, nothing against them. I just never really bothered to listen to their music. But I thought this was a pretty cool album. Maybe I'll check out their other work as well.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I mean, Accidents was a on repeat, like that record was on repeat for me, like during my college years. Like it's such a amazing post-hardcore, like they used to call it emo. I don't know if it's emo. I feel like it's like, I think post-hardcore is a good description because it's hardcore, but it's not really, it's like punk. It has elements of punk and hardcore, but it's not really like, it doesn't have that aggressive sound at the same time, you know, but yeah. Just really good, really good stuff. Finally, dude, I discovered this band recently. So I've been obsessed with this producer called Will Yip. Yip? Mm-hmm. I think Will Yip. Who's been, who's produced a bunch of like bands that I like. And I just really, I don't know, I've just grown. So last week we talked about Scowl, like they released a single and he produced that that song, or he's producing their album, and like it has a huge sound, you know, and I've just been obsessed with the sound that he's. So I've been looking at his discography, and apparently this year, like in October, he released he produced a record for this band called Balance and Composure, With You in Spirit is the name of the record. Man, I just dig the heck out of this album. Like it's not something that's within, you know, I don't always listen to aggressive stuff. I love also listening to stuff that's also kind of in between and like maybe softer and stuff like that. And I did not expect to like this record as much as I did, because it's usually not my kind of brand and my style of music that I listen to. But the sound is so good. The bass is so like distorted and crunchy and amazing sounding. The guitars just sound great. The composition and the music, the lyrics, everything is just so good. I really like it. Would have been my highlight for this week if it wasn't for the other record that I'm going to talk about. But yeah, just really nice. Also laid back listening. It's not really aggressive. It's not really hard. It's just a really good rock. I think they describe themselves as indie rock or something like that. But yeah. I just think they're just a really good rock band, you know?
Well, not to dampen the mood, but I didn't really enjoy this album. I listened to it once. I thought every song sounded the same. I wanted to hear more variety. I mean, it's not a bad album. I didn't get into it. Maybe with a few more listens, but yeah, I don't know. It just didn't do it for me, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't think you would be into it either, but I was surprised that I got into it, honestly. It's just really good. It's just a really great sounding record. I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. Maybe it's like the right time, right place kind of thing, you know, for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's time to jump into the highlights for the week.
Oh, yeah.
And,
so
let's start with your highlight. I think we talked about this single from this album previously, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, this is the new Devin Townsend album. It's called Power Nerd. We talked about the self-titled, the title track here, which is the opening track of this album. I really liked it. I actually had it as my highlight. And, you know, I was really looking forward to this album and it didn't disappoint. I loved it. And, you know, it's everything you'd expect from a Devin Townsend album. And, you know, with the layered production, with the loud guitars and, you know, sometimes, you know, you get like goofy songs. Sometimes you get like very serious songs. So, but, you know, all very consistent. And yeah, the thing I love about Devin Townsend, he's like one of those metal musicians who's not afraid to like put down his guard and show his like, his true self, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like all aspects of his personality, like there's no it's not a forced like macho image or whatever. He's just being himself. And you know, he's great with his production as well. But yeah, I mean, he gets a lot of flack for not disbanding Strapping Young Lad and only pursuing his solo stuff, but I think he said it himself. He no longer relates to like that music anymore. So, and you can see why. I mean, this record is very uplifting. It's, you know, has a very kind of a positive feel to it. Some of it feels very theatrical and operatic, but you know, that's his style. So yeah, I mean, there's also a very heartfelt song, the track before the last one, Goodbye. It feels like a close album closer, but it isn't like it's a very heartfelt song. But then he decided to like close the album with one of the goofiest tracks on the record. It's called Ruby Quaker. It's a song about how much he loves coffee, and the lyrics are really like insane, but the music is just as equally insane because it starts off very folky, then it goes to like hard rock territory, then extreme metal territory. It's just a really, really funny song to listen to. So yeah, that's do check out Power Nerd.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think about this, man. Devin Townsend was always like one of those musicians that I really respect a lot, right? And I respect him as a producer as well. At the end of the day, he produced one of our favorite records of all time, Intronauts, you know, The Direction of Last Things. And also he produced, I think, records for other, I don't remember what other musicians we talked about that he produced for. But at the end of the day, he's like very talented producer and a very talented musician, obviously.
Yeah,
I just could never get into his music. And it's not about the fact that he's like too experimental or anything like that. I mean, I enjoy my King Gizzards and I enjoy my Show Me the Bodies and like all these kind of different experimental sounding bands as well. And but this, I don't know. I just could not get into it. I feel like I feel like it's honestly the first thing that comes to my mind. Like, it's so interesting. I feel like I think I made this joke the last time we talked about Power Nerd, the single. It's like, I've always felt like Devin Townsend is an artist for music nerds.
And
literally, like, the only people that are into him are people who are in on it, or are music nerds who get it, who know his, like, previous projects, you know, Strapping Young Lad and all that stuff, and just are really into him as a person and as a producer and as an artist. And I'm just not, that's not me, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough. He's definitely an acquired taste. I agree with you there.
Which is interesting, even though he's an acquired taste, he still has, like, a big, I mean, following in the metal community, and, like, he's well respected and well known, you know. So, yeah, but it's, yeah, definitely worth checking out for sure. I mean, definitely worth checking out his previous discography and his weird. I mean, look at this. What is this,
dude? Look at, you should
Zeltoid the Omniscient. Like, this is the where I'm saying, like, what I'm saying. Like, it's just like nerd. Like, it's like this alien. Like, if you're listening, and you don't, like, just go to Devin Townsend's, like, discography and look at the album cover for Zeltoid the Omniscient.
Omniscient, yeah.
And it's like this alien holding a cup of coffee, and it's like this concept, weird concept album with, like, weird singing and, like, I don't know.
Dude, yeah, you have to Google. There was a clip on YouTube that came out recently. I think he's doing promotion for this album. He goes through, like, the various phases of, like, his hairstyles, because he was known back then for, like, having a crazy skullet.
Yeah,
but
skull,
like,
yeah.
Now he's bald. Like, he's, like, yeah, he's clean shaven. But he has, like, this awesome, really hilarious clip on YouTube where he talks about all the phases his hair went through, and it's so funny. He doesn't take himself too seriously, but that's
no,
just,
he doesn't. Yeah. But you feel like there's a sadness in his eye. I don't know how.
Yeah, that's true.
It's interesting, you know. Like, it's interesting. But yeah, anyways, check out Power Nerd by Devin Townsend. Okay, so here's my highlight for the week. All right, we're gonna have to do this again. One second. I just want to get rid of this. Here we go. All right. So here's my recommendation for the week. Another, I guess you would call this, like, also, like, post-punk, post-hardcore band. Planes Mistaken for Stars. I had forgotten about this band completely. The last record I listened to them was a record, again, it says right there, right? It's the first album in 8 years. The last record I heard for them was the one they released 8 years ago, which was called Prey. And I found it very interesting. I thought it was a really cool sounding record. Really interesting sounding record. Interesting vocal style. I really like the weird grunty sounding, like, ooh, like, I don't know how to describe it, you know? Like, it's a very... I don't know why the first thing that comes to my mind is goth sounding, but it's not goth. Like, the music is not goth at all, but it's like, it's as if someone who was into goth music decided to go into, like, a punk band or something like that, and it just works well. Industrial, maybe, even in, like, I don't know. And with him, you know, it's they're really good. Like, I really like that previous record. This record, it hits in an interesting way, because this is a record that was recorded while their vocals were still alive, and he was diagnosed with, you know, a terminal disease. And he died. He passed away. And this album was released after he passed away. So it's just a very sad record to listen to and go through, and reading the lyrics as well as you're just going through them. And it's like, you just can tell that this is a man, and this is, you know, artists and musicians that are just coming to terms with the fact that their vocalist is going to pass away. And this is just it's such a sad record, and but it well, very well written as well, and well executed in terms of the songs. Fix Me is, like, a huge highlight for me on this record. And apparently it's the most popular song. I think it's a single as well, if I'm not mistaken. I can't see here. But just very sad, and at the same time, you know, as the nature of being a post-hardcore band, there's, like, a lot of melodic, fast, punk, and hardcore elements in there that are really enjoyable. Run Rabbit Run as well is another great song. It's a record full of great songs. And you know, I don't know if the fact that I knew that, you know, the context of the album and how sad it is also something that impacted and made me appreciate this album more. But I feel like even without knowing that, you'd still appreciate this record and enjoy it as well if you're into that kind of sound, right? I would totally recommend this album for everyone.
I like this album. I thought, I didn't know all the context, as you said. This is the first time I hear of this band. There's definitely kind of a sad mood in the album, let's say. And even you can hear it in the vocals, in the vocalist's voice, this adds so much, this completes kind of the picture for me now. It makes sense. I thought the song Modern Logic is fantastic. That was like my favorite track. I still need to give it more listens, to be honest, to let it really sink in. But that was my first impression, to be honest. Even here, it says late vocalist Jared O'Donnell. Yep. I just noticed this. Looms large on their first album in 8 years.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty sad context. And yeah, like I said, you can feel the sadness. Like, you can hear the sadness. And like, there's not a lot of records where you can listen to it and you can have like this kind of emotional kind of reaction to it, right? Or you can hear the emotions in it, you know? Like, you don't get a lot of records like that. And this is one of them, you know? Lyrics, execution, and delivery, and all of that, like you mentioned, you know.
Yeah, even so, the opening track, Matthew is Dead. I mean, that sets the tone for the album.
Yeah, yeah. From the titles of the song as well, you can tell that the lyrics are also written in like this very earnest and almost like casual way. Like, if you go read through the lyrics, like it's written in a very casual way. Like, it's not someone trying to be pretentious or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's just feelings, and you're just putting it out there, you know, and like just really along with really nice musicianship as well, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, really cool records. I recommend everyone check it out. Planes Mistaken for Stars is the name of the band. The album is called Do You Still Love Me? Mm-hmm. Folks, we have a surprise for you here. We don't usually do this, but Mansoor has decided to grace us with a second highlight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that this was an option for us. I did not receive the memo. I must have not checked my emails, my corporate anti-shuffle email. There must have been a ta'meem am nizl al email that I missed. But Mansoor has another recommendation here, and it's Jerry Cantrell.
The new Jerry Cantrell solo album, I Want Blood, indeed. Jerry Cantrell, guitarist and songwriter and vocalist for Alice in Chains. This is his fourth solo album. I really like this. I mean, I'm a big Alice in Chains fan. I'm a big fan of Jerry Cantrell. I think he's one of my favorite guitarists and songwriters in the genre.
Yeah,
so good. You know, I really love his tone, his style. He has like, I think he said in an interview once, he loves to let his guitar riffs breathe. That explains, I guess, the kind of slow, doomy sound that Alice in Chains has. But he's quite versatile with his songwriting. I was impressed with this album, to be honest, and I was a bit skeptical coming into it because I honestly did not like the last Alice in Chains album, Rainier Fog. I think that's how it's pronounced. Mm-hmm. So coming into this, I was like, okay, whatever. But this sounds closer to Alice in Chains than anything else out there now. And if you would have told me this is an Alice in Chains album, I would have believed you because, if you love Alice in Chains, this is pretty much an Alice in Chains album. So there are a few fillers, I won't lie to you, like Off the Rails and some other songs, but overall there's a lot of great tracks like Echoes of Laughter, Throw Me a Line. The title track, I Want Blood, sounds a lot like Queens of the Stone Age. It's a pretty good album, much better than the last Alice in Chains album for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how I like you. I have such an immense respect for Jerry Cantrell, and I love his riffage. And I actually really I like the first Alice in Chains album that they released after the after their vocalist passed away. What was it called? What was that record called? The one with the
Black Gives Way to Blue.
Yeah, there, yeah, it is. Black Gives Way to Blue. Yeah, that record is incredible. Like it's such a return to form. Like it's one of those, like it's an example of a band coming together and like fanning. Like it's just a strong return to form. You know, Jerry Cantrell did amazing on vocals. The music is there. Everything was amazing. It's just that after that record, honestly, like I just, you know, I don't feel like I wasn't feeling it anymore. And it's the same thing with this record. I feel like I need to listen to it more. I'll be honest. Like I listened to it once. I went through it once, and I just. It's a weird thing to say, but I felt like it was too much. It was like Alice in Chains worship, you know? Like, I was like, which is weird to say because he is Alice in Chains at the end of the day, right?
Yeah,
So, like, I was like, I don't know what I was expecting. Maybe I was expecting it to be a bit different. I was expecting, I don't know, something else. But, and it's a mindset thing at the end of the day. But yeah, I'll just need to give this another listen. And get a better feel for it, because I really love Alice in Chains, and I really like that, you know, album that they brought back when they came together, Black Gives Way to Blue, and yeah, I don't know, I'll give it another listen.
Yeah, I have to be honest, it took me a few listens to really appreciate this. I mean, when I first heard it, I was like, what is this? But I you know, after a few more. Listen, I kind of, I got it. I really liked it a lot, you know?
All right. Well, I guess if you're into, I guess if you're into Jerry Cantrell and you're, you know, into that Alice in Chains sounds, I guess Alice in Chains sound, I guess this is as close as it will ever get based on what Mansoor said. So check it out. I Want Blood. It's kind of a cool title, though.
Yeah.
I kind of like the title. It's pretty aggressive. Pretty hard. But in any case, that's a wrap for us, Mansoor. That was a pretty good episode.
I agree. I concur.
I like the way we executed. I like the news that we talked about, and I like the songs that we shared. As always, we will be updating our playlist with all the songs that and the albums and the, you know, the music that we talked about. And we will share it on our stories. We'll put it in the description. And yeah, anything else, Mansoor, you want to share before we hang up?
Yeah, feel free to share your thoughts on the songs that we mentioned on the news. And whether you think the correct pronunciation for Greg Pucciato is Pucciato or whatever.
Yeah, help us. How do you pronounce Greg Pucciato's name?
Be sure to like, share, and subscribe, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, guys. See you next week. And rate my team.